Welcome to 24 opportunities for your knees. We're going to break these down factor by factor, starting with a factor of 3, ankles, knees, and hips. So just as an example, if you were landing from a jump and you had the weakest ankles in the world, well then more pressure would be coming up to your knees than nature intended. Now let's imagine you're sprinting and you've got the weakest hips in the world. Well, to get from point A to point B, you're gonna have to stress your knees too much. So it's not an advantage to have like weak hips or weak ankles when it comes to your knee, nor is it an advantage to have weak knees. So right off the bat, we can just establish we want strong ankles and strong knees and strong hips. Those are the first three factors. Now the second factor is the right and left side of your body. From working with athletes and even so many of us who maybe aren't currently competing in a sport, maybe we grew up playing a certain sport, we don't realize just how imbalanced things can be from side to side. So let's say you have a ankle or a shin pain on the left side. Well, that has a really high chance now of giving you patellar tendon pain on the right side, because now when you are, let's say, landing, you're now not able to absorb enough with the left compared to what you're supposed to because you're shying away. So now as that impact comes up, now you have to shoot more force into the right. And then that could lead then to now the left hip getting kind of janky. So you see what I'm saying is that just because you think you have quote unquote strong ankles, knees, hips, the odds of being imbalanced are very, very low. Most people have severe imbalances between sides. So it's not just having quote unquote strong knees or strong ankles or strong hips, it's all three. And it's not just one side or the other. A lot of famous athletes have been injured and you can actually look back over their careers and see how their mechanics and only favoring one side, then when they got into a sticky situation, boom, injury, because they had to get out of normal mechanics. They had to get out of what's natural because one knee was weaker. So having one knee that's weaker than the other is so common, yet such a disaster for both chronic knee pain and injuries. So far we have 6 factors. Okay, strong ankles, strong knees, strong hips, balance between sides. We are off to a great start. But the next factor is there's very distinctly a front and a back, meaning, for example, the tibialis. So if you think about a tibialis bar and flexing your ankle, well, that's the front of the ankle. But now a calf raise would be the back of the ankle. So if you're weak on either one of those, that can create problems. Same thing for your knee. Think about, okay, sure, you have a strong squat, but what if on a Nordic, you drop like a sack of potatoes? Well, that means that in a real, you know, game situation, when you have to decelerate, you're going to put more force into the front of the knee than you need to because you can't handle the force on the back of the knee. So, oh, and then go up to the hips. I mean, you know, we spend so much time trying to increase the, you know, the power of our hips to extend, but then so little time increasing the strength of the hips to flex. So hip flexion needs to be something that's loaded and measurable. And so that's, think about like the monkey foot. So that saves me thousands of dollars from having to buy hip flexor machines, and it allows me to put measurable overload to my hip flexion. So one weak hip flexor is all it takes to really set off like a pretty nasty chain reaction. But the same goes for a weak ankle or a weak knee. So ankles, knees, and hips, right and left side of the body, front and back of the body. And then, so that's 12, right? So you would think like, wow, 12 different areas. That's a lot of things. We're going to be bulletproof. Well, with those 12, you'd be a lot more bulletproof than if one of those 12 was a weak point, but there's still 2 more factors. And that's short range and long range. So if you think about your knee, for example, it's actually not uncommon at all to be strong in the top quarter of bend or the bottom quarter of bend. So the amount of people that I've seen start with knee problems who had all 24 of these factors in, it's zero. It doesn't mean that it couldn't happen, but I've never in history seen someone whose knees were, you know, a problem for them who was not missing one of these 24 points. And don't worry, we're going to break the short and long down more. So if you think about a reverse step up, that's the short range of the knee. It's never bending all the way. It's just the top range. And you have 2 sides. And that is extremely likely to be imbalanced. Now, when you go down to the bottom of an ATG split squat, now that's training the long range, that fully bent position. That's also extremely likely to be imbalanced. So is a balanced and strong split squat at the bottom and reverse step up at the top, does that bulletproof your knees? Well, it's a good start, but that's only 4 out of 24 factors. So think about the back of the knee. Well, I mentioned Nordic, but think about the start of a Nordic when your knee is bent. It's not hard at all. Now, as you lower down, it gets harder as you approach that long position. But the hamstring curl machine, which is what 90 plus percent of people do for their thinking they're doing hamstrings, well, that's the short range. They're both important. So these 24 factors, I currently train with exact even balance in Advanced Zero. I train all these factors. I train all 24 of these factors in balance ratio. So one day a week, I do hamstring curls. One day a week, I do Nordics. So that's an example for the knee. If you think about the hips though, right? Okay, well, let's take the front left side of your hip. Just the front left side of your hip. Well, not only would that have the monkey foot, which people are very commonly weak. For example, like someone who kicks with the right foot would be likely to be much stronger in the right hip flexor than the left hip flexor. They don't stimulate the left hip flexors enough. We don't see it in the mirror, but it's probably smaller, weaker, maybe even stiffer. Well, the monkey foot is only the short range. When the leg is straight, there's no load. When the knee lifts up, and now the hip flexor has to go into that shortened, contracted position. That's the monkey foot. But now when your right foot's forward in an ATG split squat and the left leg is the back leg, now that's training your hip flexor in the lengthened position. So that's just the front left of your hip would have the monkey foot for the short range and the ATG split squat for the long range. So you can see how many imbalances build up. When it comes to the hips and the knees, as we went over, you're going to need different exercises to best approximate each range. But with the ankle, like if we think about the tibialis bar, if you've used this, you notice that you get a really good stretch, you know, in the stretch position, in the long range, you get a really nice stretch and load. But then when you flex up, you also have to get a good amount of load. So there are some tools that allow you to work both the short and the long range, the tibialis bar being one of them. Same with like a single leg standing calf raise. It's tough at the top and you get a good stretch at the bottom. Whereas like we went over with the hip flexors, you're really going to have to break up two different motions. And again, that doesn't mean you have to, but just based on accessible and measurable things, it makes most sense. It's most efficient to just break it up and separately train it. But now if you think about like your hip extension, there's a whole toolbox of exercises you could use. What I'm doing though, is I'm just using the single-legged back extension. So the single-legged back extension at a 45 degree angle, that means I have an even amount of load at the bottom where my body's bent about 45 degrees and an even load at the top where my body's straight, but my body's a 45 degree angle to the ground. So the load is even on by using one of those things, and I'm able to train one side at a time. So I would train my right and left back hip short and long range. So that's an overview. I don't want to make this take longer than it needs to be. It's been 8 minutes. We've covered 24 different opportunities. My goal with the Advanced Zero program is to get stronger than I am now at all 24 of those, or let's not just say stronger, would be stronger and better, meaning, you know, in some of these cases, even more range of motion and stronger. So my goal is to have more ability at these 24 intended zones than I do now. And I'm age 30, so this is the strategy I'm taking with these 24. I'm going to run Advanced Zero, I've decided, for at least a year. You know, really give it a year to fine-tune every aspect of this, because even some of these things that I'm discussing, well, it's a full-body program. So, for example, even in my upper body, I just filmed, and one of the things that's going in, one of the reasons I love living these programs and keeping them up to date is that when I change things, boom, it goes right in, is that I'm using a cable or a band one day a week to train my external rotators. So that's working the short range. There's no tension when they're stretched. There's no load. And then when you short, go into that contracted position, boom. But with the dumbbell, the exact position that's hardest with a cable or a band is the easiest. There's no load yet. And then when you lower down to a stretch position, now that comes in. So it's like nothing, there's nothing revolutionary about training both the short and long range. There's nothing revolutionary about, you know, training these different areas. But if we just go back and you know, conclude with the lower body, there's something very revolutionary about training all 24 of these areas. I haven't been able to find any program in history that trains all 24.